I want to speak to you this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is the Lord's intercessory prayer. This is holy ground. Often our Lord prayed. Sometimes He prayed all night. He'd go apart. He'd go off by Himself and pray. But here, in this chapter, we are allowed to listen in to the intercessory prayer of the Lord for His people. Now listen to these words carefully. Listen to this chapter. And when you have time, go back and read this chapter. John 17. These words spake Jesus, the words of comfort. This is referring back to the last three chapters. He's telling His disciples He's going to go away, and He's been speaking words of comfort to them. But after that, it says He lifted up His eyes toward heaven. Even though God is everywhere, yet in heaven His glory is most manifested in His fullness. And He lifted up His eyes toward heaven and looked into the face of God, as only He could do, because He's equal with God, being God. And He said, the hour has come, the hour that was appointed before the world was, the hour to suffer for sin, the hour to redeem, the hour to die, the hour to depart out of this world and go back to the Father, having obtained eternal redemption for the ones He's praying for. And He asked the Father, He said, glorify Thy Son. So support and sustain me through this great event that's about to happen to me. And enable me to glorify Thee. You know, the Father and the Son are both glorified in the redemption of His people. Now He says, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, the Father gave Jesus Christ power over all flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a King of kings and Lord of lords, has all power, all authority, and all government over all people and all things right now. The Father gave Him this power over all flesh that He might give eternal life to as many as the Father gave Him. He must have power over all flesh in order for Him to save those for whom He's praying. He must be able to break the power of canceled sin. He must be able to make them willing in the day of His power. He must have power over all flesh in order for Him to accomplish His Father's will. And He said He shall give eternal life to as many as the Father gave to Him. Not one of them shall perish. Not one of them shall be plucked out of His hand. The security of God's people, of His sheep, is not in their profession, it's not in their confession, it's not in their acceptance of Him. It is Him. He is my security. Now He said, this is life eternal. Everybody wants eternal life, but not everyone wants Jesus Christ. And they cannot be separated. He is eternal life. The eternal life spoken here is not the length of it. Everybody's going to live forever somewhere. It's the quality of it. It's the life of God in the soul. And it comes by knowing the Father and the Son. It means more than just agreeing with some doctrines or some creed. It means to really and truly know the Father and the Son in the heart. It is a real heart experience. It is a real divine union with Jesus Christ. Now He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. How did He do that? Well, He did it by doing His Father's will perfectly. He did it by perfectly keeping God's law. He magnified the law and made it honorable. He did it by willingly giving up His life for the sheep. He glorified the Father's name on the earth by finishing the work that was given to Him to do. You know, salvation is a work. His work, not mine, not yours. It's His work. We are saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. There are two important things to consider in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. First of all, that Jesus Christ is God, and was with God, and was God from eternity. And His delight was to return to His Father. Secondly, Christ returns to the Father's presence now as the man, Christ Jesus, as the mediator, as the forerunner of all the redeemed. He prays to return to his former state of glory, to be received and seated at the Father's right hand. And he says, "Now I have manifested thy name unto the men." Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. No man knows the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ said in one place, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Christ revealed the perfect nature of God. He revealed the love of God, the grace of God. He revealed the redemptive will of God, the Father. And he revealed this to those who were given to him before the world was. This chapter is full of God's electing grace. You cannot read this chapter and then turn around and deny God's electing grace. He says here, "Thine they were." They've always been his. His sheep, and I cannot explain this, but I know this, true. His sheep have always been his sheep. He is not turning goats into sheep. They've always been his sheep. And these he gave to Christ. He chose in Christ, and he gave to Christ. And Christ became their surety, their mediator, their redeemer. And he says here, "They have kept thy word. They have believed thy word. They believe the gospel." He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow." And they have known. God has so powerfully put his stamp of approval upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that those who saw him and believed are totally convinced that the work is of the Father. Now he says in verse 8, "I've given them thy words." What he spake was from the Father. The gospel message, the report as Isaiah calls it, the testimony of truth is of the Father. And his elect have received it. They've received it gladly. They've embraced it. And they are sure that Jesus Christ is the only Messiah. Now I pray for them. Boy, is that not a comfort to know that Jesus Christ, the living God, who is God manifested in the flesh, prays for me. For I know this, God the Father always hears his prayers. I pray for them. I pray for their good. I pray for their salvation. But he also says, "I pray not for the world." He doesn't pray for everyone. "I pray not for the world." Why does he not pray for the world? Because he did not die for everyone in the world. And he's not going to pray for people that he didn't die for. And then he would be praying against the will of his Father if he prayed for the world. He said, "I pray for them that you've given me. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. In purpose they're one. In ownership they're one. And I'm glorified in them. In their redemption, in their faith, in their conduct, in their final end and glory. Every one of his sheep is to the praise and glory of his grace. And now no more in the world. He was ready to depart out of the world and enter into the Holy of Holies. But the disciples had to stay here in this cruel world of hatred. So he prays that the Father would keep them from the evil one and keep them faithful to the gospel and faithful to one another, that they would remain one, even as the Father and the Son are one. No divisions. While I was with them in the world, he said, I kept them in thy name. We don't keep ourselves. If he would leave us alone, we'd leave him. But he's kept the sheep. And the only one lost, he says, is Judas. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas is called the son of perdition. He never was the son of God. And now I come to thee. Christ is praying now in verse 13. He says, now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That their joy would not diminish by his leaving them in the world, but that their joy might continue and even increase in the gospel of grace. We have a reason to rejoice in that Jesus Christ has ascended back to the Father to make intercessions for us and to prepare a place for us, a place of acceptance. And he says in verse 14, I've given them thy word. I've given them the gospel. And the world hath hated them for it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All because of the gospel of truth, the world hated your people. Because, I'll tell you, here's the reason why. Because it exposes the world for who they are, who and what they really are. Liars, sons of Satan, darkness. He said, you will not come to the light. Because light will expose who you are. And he said, my people are hated because of it. And they are now contrary to one another. The world and the believer cannot walk together. How can two walk together except they agree? Now he says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. No, we're to stay here and preach the gospel and edify the church and build up one another until he has fulfilled his purpose in each one of us. Then he'll call us home. And he prays that we should be kept from the evil one. He said, they are not of the world. Once again, he says this again. They are not of the world. No, they're of God. They're not of the world. They are of God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Even though we are perfect in Jesus Christ, all those for whom he prays for and died for, they are perfect in him. There is such a thing as spiritual growth in love and faith and hope and temperance. We grow in these things. Now he says, I sent them into the world. We are commanded to spread the gospel near and far. It's not something we keep to ourselves. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. God has a people in every nation, tongue, language, and tribe under heaven. I sanctify myself. He's not saying he's making himself holy, for he did no sin, knew no sin, but that he has set aside himself as a sacrifice for our sins in order to make us holy. We were sanctified by the Father in election, by the Son in redemption, by the Holy Spirit in regeneration and calling and belief of the truth. Now he says, neither pray I for these alone. He not only prays for the disciples, but for all of God's elect from beginning to end who shall believe on him through the preaching of the gospel, that they all may be one. Here's the purpose of it all. That we all may be one, united together in heaven as one harmonious family. We all shall be equal in glory, for we shall be like him, even as he is like the Father. I in them, thou in me, no separation, cohabiting together in one spirit, thinking alike, loving the same things, being perfect in all things. And he says, Father, I will. And I tell you this, what he wills, he gets. And what is that will? That we may be with him where he is, and that we may behold his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That his people here, that he's speaking of, that they can enjoy what I enjoy. That's what he says. Father, I will that they be with me where I am. O Father, I know thee, and I know they know thee, and they believe that thou hast sent me. Nothing glorifies God more than faith. They believe that thou hast sent me. And I have declared thy name. I have revealed who you are, and will yet reveal it, so that they also may believe, and that they can enjoy the same love that I have enjoyed. Listen, my friends. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That is eternal life. Eternal life is not how long, but it's God. It's the life of God in the soul. And the only way that can happen is to know Jesus Christ in the heart. To be possessed of him. To be united to him. Look to him. Look to him. May God bless his word.